Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two. Day before the election, we're running through some issues related to electoral battlegrounds. And, you know, we bring on the best guests. In fact, just plan on our live stream tomorrow night. We already got confirmation. It looks like we've got Attorney General Steve Marshall. We've got U.S. Senator Katie Britt. We've got Alabama's Chairman John Wall. So we got to have a great crew tomorrow night chiming in on our live stream. But calling in right now is somebody I had the pleasure of meeting a few years ago. You may recall I was with the Alabama Policy Institute. They still tie into our show quite often, and we use them as a resource for conservative policy and think tank issues. Well, there's like an organization like that in every state, sometimes two or three. And we love to interact, and we do so a lot of times through a thing called the State Policy Network. A guy that I met a few years ago is Matt Briette. And Matt Briette previously served as the president and CEO of the Commonwealth Foundation, which is the Pennsylvania version of like API here in Alabama. He also, by the way, prior to that, had been director of education policy for the Mackinac Center, which is a similar think tank on conservative policy issues in Michigan. Matt was named this year as one of Pennsylvania's Pennsylvania Power 100, recognizing that kind of group as the most influential people in public and private sectors in his whole state. I know for a fact politics in Pennsylvania is different because of Matt Briette. So let me quit talking and bring him on. Hey, Matt, how you doing today?
Hey, good to be with you, Phil. Great to chat.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for making time. I know you're on the road, so I appreciate you making time for us. Listen, Pennsylvania, lots of talk about you guys in the national battleground fight here. What do you see on the ground? What are you thinking up there right now?
Boy, it is very tight, Phil. All the polling that you're hearing nationally, we're seeing in all of our races that we're involved in, and Commonwealth partners and our political action committees are involved in attorneys general race, our local, you know, state house and state senate, and all of our polling just says this is going to be tight. And so the metrics though are look favorable for Republicans, but I make the analogy of football that it's like we're ahead in rushing yards and passing yards and turnover takeaways. But you know what? There's still time left in the game, and who knows if the other team kicks a 65-yard field goal to win it. So it's going to be that tight, but I'd rather be us than them right now. I'll just put it that way.
Well, that's good to hear. Let me ask you. I mean, from afar, we hear reports all the time about different things, and you know, if social media is to be believed, then Martians are landing tomorrow too. But anyway, that being said, one of the things I keep hearing too that could be a factor in the race is the Amish vote. What are you hearing about the Amish vote in Pennsylvania? Is that real? Is that going to happen?
Well, we kind of hear that every cycle, but I certainly hope that. Look, we're going to need everybody to show up. The Democrats are certainly motivated. They know how to put together a ground game. I will say that I think the Republicans are as organized as I've ever seen them, and they're certainly watching at all of the election places, county election offices. So it seems that the Republicans are getting people out, including the Amish, including people who have a low propensity of getting out and voting. So, again, all of the numbers look good. Our mail-in votes are better than they have been. Democrats are down. Voter registration over the last 10 years has gone from a Democratic advantage of 1 million voters to now under 300,000. So our purple state, I think we're moving in the right direction, and hopefully that means a lot of our voters show up tomorrow.
Well, and a lot of people don't realize that much like Alabama, we had quite a dynamic at our state level where it was Democrat-controlled forever. In fact, I was part of the 2010 wave. We had 136 straight years of Democrat control of our legislature. You were very instrumental and with Commonwealth in helping to gain entree and having a real voice for conservative politics in the state. I mean, Pennsylvania, for all of the Rust Belt talk we have and the Blue Wall talk we have, you've made great strides in the last decade, have you not?
We have. Thankfully, we have, because otherwise Pennsylvania would be going down the path of Illinois and becoming a California or a New York. But because of Patriots standing up, we have been able to stave off the far left. Eric Holder, as I'm sure you're well aware, has been laboring in Pennsylvania for the last three election cycles, trying to flip our state house and Senate. And we've been able to hold them off until this very last election. The Democrats took our state house by one vote. Wow. They have a 102-101 majority. But I believe we will flip that back this cycle. We will hold our Senate, and then hopefully we'll keep marching forward. And love to see Pennsylvania turn red here over the years and reverse that trend of states like ours going blue.
Absolutely. In fact, I remember one of the stories you told me several years ago was that there was a period of time when you were not even welcome in the state house. Like you wouldn't even be allowed in for a meeting. They would escort you back out the door, if I recall. And that at least that's changed.
It has. And those were the Republican offices, Phil, that we were not welcome in. And so, you know, things have dramatically changed. We have been able to help reshape our legislature and have free market Republicans that are not only in office, but in leadership, which was something that didn't exist 20 years ago when I started at Commonwealth Foundation. Hey, I do have one shout out. You said that you got Steve Marshall on tomorrow. He's become a good friend to us in Pennsylvania simply because we have one of the top attorneys general's races in the country. And Steve and the Republican Attorney General's Association have been tremendous partners for us in Pennsylvania. And I know Steve has been chair of that organization, and they have really helped us. I think we're going to pull that one off, which would be really important, as you know, having the chief law enforcement officer, someone who actually believes in the rule of law, rather than trying to use that office to create laws as an attorney general. So Steve has been very helpful to us in Pennsylvania.
Well, he's been a friend of this show and really a friend of me, too, for a number of years. He's a great guy. And so I'm glad to hear that's the way that's been. Hey, let me ask you in the next few minutes here before we go, if you have any insight. So I did not realize until I was reading your bio for today's show that you were at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy in Michigan for a number of years. Do you have any insights on Michigan right now? Because they're saying that one's still too close to call right now, too. I mean, Pennsylvania, Michigan, good Lord.
It is. I mean, even that Senate race could be in play. We don't know. They have felt some severe setbacks in Michigan where it's gone blue through and through. The legislature, both the House and the Senate, as well as obviously the governor. But I think they are putting up a good fight there. We've got some allies there that have rallied the troops similar to what we've done in Pennsylvania. And so I'm hopeful. Look, it could be a really good night for President Trump. If so, I think they can drag along states like Pennsylvania and Michigan, and you can see some down ballot help there. They can definitely use it in Michigan, and I'm rooting for them.
Absolutely. And I got to ask you with regards to your home state now, Pennsylvania. That's been a centerpiece for a lot of things that have happened in this crazy election cycle we've had. I mean, we've had two assassination attempts on President Trump. We've got the decapitation of the Democrat side with, you know, Biden dropping off the ticket at the last minute after winning the primary. But let me ask you, did the Butler, PA assassination attempt, has that galvanized a base at all? Has that had an impact on Pennsylvania voters as a state?
Without a doubt, that certainly helped. And I know from just my own personal experience of people who are having trouble voting for Trump, they certainly weren't voting for Kamala Harris. But that type of character that you saw after that caused a number of folks that I know say, okay, I am with Trump. And so I think that you certainly saw that. And I think, you know, Elon Musk put it quite well. He says you see the character of a man after that rises up after an assassination attempt. And you can't – that's nothing that some, you know, political consultant can teach anybody. That just comes from the heart. So I think that helped. Certainly a lot of people say that's who I want to represent our country in a world that desperately needs somebody who's strong. And so I think that conveyed precisely the message that a lot of people are looking for.
Wow. Yeah. And I completely agree. It's become one of those iconic photographs, too, of this entire cycle. Maybe one of the most iconic of the decade, of him standing up with his fist in the air and blood on his face. But
You also put him there in the McDonald's outfit and the trash truck, and those will be some things that will certainly be remembered from 2024 election.
I saw somebody said, you know, with regards to Peanut the Squirrel, this thing this past weekend, that if Trump puts on a squirrel suit tomorrow on stage, he wins the election by 5 points. But hey, last question for you.
Whatever it takes.
That's right. Last question for you, brother. Just wondering, the Rust Belt states, the unions have traditionally always been strong Democrat, and largely speaking, they still are. But this year, the shockwave for Democrats was when they did not get the endorsement of the Teamsters. And I'm wondering, how did that play into Pennsylvania? Has that been a big factor?
Oh, I'll tell you what, Phil, this is a huge factor in Pennsylvania. I think it is the recognition between what I call the hard hat unions, the guys who actually make stuff, and the bureaucrat unions, the people who just take stuff. And so, you know, you got the government unions that are actually hurting the hard hat union guys. They're the ones that have kids stuck in schools that don't work. They're the ones that are paying higher and higher taxes for our illegal immigration that's impacting our schools, having to provide more services and such. So I think that we have definitely experienced that shift in allegiances in Pennsylvania. And if it's not happening at the top, you know, brass of the union leaders, it is absolutely happening amongst the members. And I think that is why you're seeing such a shift. And I got to tell you, Phil, I love it that we are the working party, the working man's party, the people that work for a living. And that's where it has always should have been. And we finally get to own that, and I love seeing that shift happen.
Oh, man, don't you know it? It's the wind of change, and it's the way it's supposed to be. It's actually not the change. It's just like making things the way they really are. But
that's right. That's right.
All right. Well, listen, Matt Briatt, it was great to connect with you again, man. And I hope to stay connected and maybe talk to you again in the future. But in the meantime, safe travels right now, and we look forward to Pennsylvania doing good things tomorrow.
You bet. Thanks, Phil. Great to chat.
All right. Take care. That was Matt Briatt. He's the founder and president and CEO of Commonwealth Partners Chamber of Commerce, or Chamber of Entrepreneurs now, in Pennsylvania. And he's been heavily involved in changing the dynamic of politics in that state. I mean, if there's a guy who should get a trophy for changing state politics, he might be on that list. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. I ran a bit long, so we'll have a short segment. I'll catch up on some text messages, and we'll keep moving through the material. We got stuff, y'all. Let's talk. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.